the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. I wonder if I might just pray before we think about those last few verses together. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, you spoke from heaven on that day, and we pray that you would speak to us again this morning through your word and by your Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we get to verse 9. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and he came to John, and John baptized him. But this was no ordinary baptism, not like the one we've had this morning. Let's read verse 10 again. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now notice what is going on here. God the Father looks down on Jesus and declares him to be his Son. Not only his Son, but a Son whose life is wholly pleasing to God. Think about the whole rest of the crowd there. They've come out to John and they're being baptized for the forgiveness of their sins to turn them back to God, the God they've abandoned, but Jesus hasn't. He's never turned away from God in the first place. God publicly identifies Jesus as his Son. Not only that, but the Spirit comes down from heaven and rests on Jesus, giving his approval and his authority and power to the ministry Jesus is about to fulfill. He identifies Jesus as the Lord. Then you've got John. He says, after me comes the one. And then in verse 14, using the same words, Mark tells us, after John, Jesus came. Jesus went. Same words. So John identifies Jesus as the Lord. So that's God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the great prophet of God, John the Baptist. Anybody else telling us who Jesus is in the passage? Well, of course, you've got the prophets Malachi and Isaiah. They told us what to look out for when John came to announce the coming of the Lord. So now you've got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, the prophets Malachi, Isaiah, and John, and I guess you'd have to say Mark as well, who's presenting this to us. But there's more. In verse 12 and 13, Jesus goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. He's tested there by Satan, the great deceiver, the tempter, but he never gives in. He never sins. God said of Jesus that he was well-pleasing to him, and now we see why. Because Jesus does what Adam couldn't do, what Israel couldn't do, what you and I can't do, which is live in perfect obedience to God the Father in the most difficult of situations. Nobody else has ever done that. And so Jesus is qualified to be the Christ. Do you think Mark wants us to learn who Jesus is in this passage? I think he might do. He's piling up proof after proof after proof that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is the anointed king. He is the one that God had promised for centuries and now has arrived. There'll be lots more proofs as we go through this series in Mark's gospel. We'll see lots about how Jesus does miracles and heals people and teaches people and trains his disciples. But I think there's enough just in this passage to persuade us that Jesus is the long promised and longed for king. But do you know what the best bit of this passage, I think, for me at least? It is Jesus getting baptized. Because remember, Jesus doesn't need to get baptized, does he? He doesn't come to John to be turned away from his sins because Jesus is perfect. He has no sins to repent of. He has no need to have his sins washed away in the river. But he goes into the river anyway. He goes to identify with God's people. Mark identifies Jesus as God's son and king. But Jesus says, let me identify with you. These are my people. I am their king. Their sin is my problem. And friends, this is really good news. Now, we need to just think about news for a minute, don't we? It's called good news in verse 1 and again in verse 15. Now, kids, you might not be allowed to watch a lot of TV, and I guess if you have to watch TV, you don't choose to watch the news much. But the news is a bit like this. It is people telling us what has happened. Okay? Sometimes it's in government with Brexit. Sometimes it's about a great storm that's hit some far-flung place and torn down some houses. News is not good advice. It's not telling you how to insulate your house. It's not telling you how to eat healthily. It's telling you about things that have happened. It's news. It's not advice. It's an important distinction. It's telling you things that have already happened. It doesn't say do this, it says this has been done. And unlike nearly everything on the TV news, this is good news. It is this good news that frames our passage this morning. In verse 1, it is good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's news about the arrival of the king that God had promised for centuries and now has come. The rescue has begun. That is good news. In verse 14, it is good news that the kingdom of God has come near. Because the king of the kingdom has come near, because Jesus has arrived. It's good news because there is a way to get into the kingdom of God. John has prepared the way by turning people from their sins. And Jesus does exactly the same thing. Did you notice that? Because when Jesus comes, he proclaims, repent and believe the good news. Just like John did. That word repent, it's not a word we use very much in society, is it anymore? It just means you're facing one way, it means turn around. Turn away from sin and turn back to God. That's repent. And believe, he says. Believe in Jesus, the King of the Kingdom. Believe that he can deal with your sin, that your sin is his problem, that he's been baptized into your place. And you'll come into the kingdom. It's as simple as that. We've got a whole term to unpack all of those ideas. We'll see lots about what the kingdom is like, what the king is like, what repentance and forgiveness looks like, and how to live as kingdom people. So maybe the thing we have to see today is this. Do you already believe in Jesus? I mean, trust him with all of your life, with everything that you are. Do you depend on Jesus? Have you repented from your sins? Have you turned away from your life of sin towards a life of obedience to God? But let me say, it's okay if your answer is no to that this morning. It's a really healthy thing for us to be honest with ourselves about where we stand with God. Much better than pretending. I really hope you're not pretending, at least to yourself. Perhaps you're very young here this morning. There's quite a few of you. And you just have never realized that to be part of God's kingdom means to repent and believe in Jesus. Well, that's what Jesus tells you to do this morning. Repent and believe. Perhaps you're older. Perhaps you've been coming to church for decades. But you've never made a personal commitment to turn from sin and follow Jesus. Perhaps you thought that just coming to church was what you had to do. Church is a good thing. I would say that. I would encourage you to come to church. But coming to church is not the same thing as coming to Jesus. Jesus says you have to repent and believe in him if you're going to be part of the kingdom as well as part of the congregation. Perhaps you've only just started coming to church this morning or over the Christmas period. Everything feels very new to you. You don't know who the people are. You don't really understand how everything works. You don't know when to stand up or sit down or what the words all mean. And so that's okay, because that stuff isn't going to save you. What you need to know is that you have to repent and believe the good news. So let me just say to you this morning, if you haven't trusted in King Jesus yet, well, I'd encourage you to do that. And if you're not ready to do that, well, please come back week on week and pay really careful attention to this series, because Mark is going to persuade us that there is nothing more important than repenting and believing in this King. And for the rest of us who perhaps have repented and believed years ago, do you know, I think this is going to be good news for us as well. Because you never get past repenting and believing. It'll be good for us to be reminded what the core of the core of the Christian faith is. But more on that next week. Shall we pray together? King Jesus, we delight that you have come to rescue, come to identify with your people, come to open a way into your kingdom by repentance and believing. And I pray for every single one of us here in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, that you would cause our hearts to turn to you, to delight to be your people and to come into your kingdom. Do a powerful work amongst us by your Spirit today, in the days ahead, and in the weeks to come as we study Mark together. For Jesus' sake, amen.